This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London. Good afternoon to you.
Very good morning over your end and early evening over Asia.
It's been a dramatic day, particularly where you are in Asia Pacific, with stock markets in that region particularly hit. The Nikkei closing 3.5% lower, one of the standouts. Over here in Europe, things not quite to that extent, but we've seen the FTSE fall around 2%. So a tough start to the week for markets.
Indeed, it's actually a bloodbath, continuation of this bloodbath that we see in the last 3 to 4 weeks, as the crux still remains on this situation, or I would say the very fluid situation in the Middle East surrounding the potential severe global oil supply crunch coming out from this US-Iran war/conflict that is entering to its 24th day today, showing no signs of a de-escalation. And what makes matters worse over here is both sides giving very, very harsh remarks. Firstly, US President Trump stated that the Iranian leadership has a 48-hour deadline to totally open up the Strait of Hormuz, allowing oil tankers, irregardless of which countries they represent, to pass through it. That is to elevate this current high level of oil prices that is inching back up to that $100 per barrel for West Texas crude oil. And that ultimately comes to the price that if Iranian leadership does not open up the Strait of Hormuz within these 48 hours, so taking into account the time where US President Trump tweeted on his social media platform, that actually comes for the last hour to be very early tomorrow Asia session, Tuesday, 24th of April at around 7:40 a.m. Singapore time. And Iranian's side doesn't want to budge at all, stating that if Trump were to attack Iranian's power supply infrastructure, Iran's side will hit back with much more forceful attacks, targeting oil assets in the Gulf states, targeting information technology. So I believe that those are data centers by those mega cap technology firms in the US with the likes of Amazon and in some form Microsoft, building up some of their data centers after, I mean, last year US Saudi Arabia mega deal that they concluded. And also another hand is on the other side is targeting the Gulf states desalination plant, choking them off reliable drinking water. So that doesn't seem to be pointing to de-escalation behavior, but instead of pointing to a much more prolonged conflict that both sides is trying to play poker to see which has a upper hand, and the market does not like such uncertainty. So what we could see over here is that firstly, there is a kind of liquidity squeeze in the market by looking at the Fed Funds Futures contract that is trading on the Globex during the Asia session. So what we could see right now is that based on this CME FedWatch 2, the pricing of the Fed Funds Futures contracts, the current one and as well as months ahead, is totally pricing in now no interest rate cut by the Fed for this year. Right, so bear in mind that last week on Wednesday, we do have this latest dot plot coming out from the FOMC meeting on last Wednesday, where Powell and his colleagues stated that they are still in favor of at least one interest rate cut before 2026 ends. But based on the latest pricing behavior, taking into account of the Fed Funds Futures market, that actually indicated right now that no interest rate cuts at all for this year. And the next interest rate cut will be pushed down the calendar until end of next year, which is 2027. And right now, there is rising odds that potentially the Fed may be tempering a rate hike instead coming into the months of October and December this year. The odds are not high, above 50, but they have increased significantly from almost negligible since the start of the year to right now around 30% to 40% probability. So that actually created a liquidity squeeze into the market in early in today's Asia session, where we start to see across the board sell-off in the Nikkei 225, in the Hang Seng indices, in the China benchmark benchmark A shares indices, then that also come in line with a sell-off on the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100 e-mini futures that are trading in the Asia session. So right now, both of them are down respectively at around negative 0.8% to negative 0.9%. And what's interesting over here is that gold also plummeted as well by negative 4%, totally erasing off this year gain, and also broken below the previous sell-off that we saw a key medium-term swing low for the XAU slash USD, the spot gold at around the 4,400 level. And right now, gold is actually trading at the 4,400 level. So earlier on, the low of the gold was being seen at around 4,098. And right now, it's trading slightly higher at 4,265 as we are speaking, the spot gold XAU slash USD. However, that is still below that broken down February low of 4,400 level. So the reason why gold is not behaving like a safe haven demand is due to this liquidity squeeze coming out from the stagflation fear that the market is building up right now. Because in such an environment where global central banks, that means we're talking about the Fed itself, together with ECB and Bank of England that sounded hawkish last week as well, that there starts to be tempering of interest rate hike rather than interest rate cut, that could potentially see the longer end of the sovereign bond yield inching upwards over here. So once that takes shape over here, it will actually increase the cost of holding gold, which is a non-interest income bearing asset, and that could actually suck up the attractiveness or lower down the attractiveness of a being a safe haven demand at this very interesting juncture due to geopolitical risk, but it's being caused by a geopolitical risk coupled with a global oil supply shock that is creating this stagflation fear.
Kelvin, let's look to the week ahead and quite a lot of global PMI data, which should give us a few clues as to the health or otherwise of the global economy.
Precisely. So what we have is that this week will be PMI day for Tuesday, which is tomorrow, where we see a across the globe release of the S&P Global PMI data, which is the compiler. So they will start it off from early morning Asia time at 6 a.m. for Australia. The global manufacturing services PMI flash data for March. Then throughout the day, you have it in the Eurozone will be released as well. UK, Japan, followed by US. So market participants will be very looking forward to how the survey finding will be, because this is a survey-based result, soft data. So soft data tends to be leading over here. So this is for the month of March. So still recall that the US-Iran conflict slash war kickstarted on the 28th of February. So there's a little portion of the window to capture the first half of this ongoing conflict. So market participants will be paying very close attention, especially on the US side of the story. Because the US side of the story, services PMI has been holding on pretty firmly since last year. And if you start to see a dip down in the services PMI data for US, and also coupled with potential higher input prices, which is forming part of the subcomponent inside this PMI data, that could actually increase the stagflation fear that is playing out in the markets right now. And that could create a kind of a reinforce this ongoing negative sentiment in risk assets, and that could entrench this medium-term downtrend that is playing out in the global stock indices, especially three major US stock indices last Friday closed below their key 200-day moving average, which is the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ 100. And the only one that is still holding only marginally higher above the 200-day moving average will be the Russell 2000. So if this stagflation fear continues to play out, bear in mind that the Russell 2000 component stocks are much more centered on smaller cap companies in the US that have a higher debt burden. That means, i.e., their balance sheets tend to be more levered as compared to those blue chip stocks in the S&P 500. Hence, if this stagflation fear starts to play out as being reinforced by those survey findings that's being found in this preliminary or flash PMI data for services and as well as this manufacturing together with their prices paid subcomponent showing prices going up higher, and whereas we start to see a slowdown in PMI growth both from the manufacturing and the services side due to this demand fear or stagflation fear that could increase the risk of that US Russell 2000, which is the US small caps company, breaking below their key 200-day moving average as well this week. And on top of that, we do have some key inflation data to chew on. So we have RBA inflation data coming out on a Wednesday, which is the Australia RBA trim mean CPI data. So that is the core CPI data in Australia, followed by UK core inflation rate coming in on the 25th of March. And also we do have Japan core inflation rate coming in on Japan core inflation will be tomorrow, early morning, Singapore time 7:30. So do pay close attention to this inflation data, especially on Japan. So Japan core inflation data is expected to dip slightly based on market consensus over here. So for the core inflation rate, that means that is excluding fresh food and energy in Japan. The previous month of January was 2.6%. Now market participants is expecting a slight dip to 2.4% over here. If that were to take shape, that could potentially see the dollar yen inching back up towards the 160, 161 level. But bear in mind over here is that the 160 and the 161 level, the dollar yen is very up. Fast approaching a key intervention risk, where previously in the past, dollar yen hitting this level, it causes some form of discomfort by the Japanese authorities to actually buy back the yen and sell the US dollar. But at this point in time, they may be indifferent because this broad-based dollar strength is pretty much driven by a liquidity squeeze globally due to higher oil prices that is also causing other currency to depreciate against the US dollar as well. And going forward, on Wednesday, the 25th of March, we do have Australia core inflation. They call it the RBA trim mean CPI. So for trim mean CPI, market is expecting an elevated level at 3.4% year on year. No change in terms of growth from the previous month of January, but being at 3.4%, that is still above RBA's upper limit of 2 to 3% long-term inflation target. So despite the fact that the Aussie dollar didn't actually underperform that much against the rest of the major currency against the US dollar. But bear in mind that if we continue to see this risk of appetite taking hold among the major global stock indices, the Australia currency is also being used as a proxy of risk-on, risk-off behavior as well. So we know that Australia has been benefiting in the last 3 to 4 weeks due to higher commodity prices because of if this risk-off behavior continues in the global stock market, the Aussie dollar may behave very similarly to global stock indices movement, ignoring the commodity sides of the linkage, and potentially will start to trade lower as well if we start to see the Aussie dollar breaking below. Right now is actually this support level that I'm actually monitoring in a very short-term support level, which is at this 69.10 level. So it starts to break down below 69.10. That could potentially give way to a medium-term downtrend on the Australia dollar. And bear in mind, over at UK, we also have its UK CPI data that is out as well on Wednesday. So the core inflation rate, markets were expecting it at a rather a high figure of 3.1% year-on-year, very similar print, 3.1% that was printed on January this year. So what's interesting over here is that market has started to look for a interest rate hike by Bank of England at the end of this and at the end of this year, by the end of this year. So if inflation rate in UK continues to be rather elevated at around 3.1%, that particular interest rate hike or odds at least 125 basis point hike, the probability will go much, pretty much higher, by around 60 to 70% before the year ends. But however, due to this ongoing stagflation fear, it may not benefit the sterling pound that much because in such a scenario, everyone is looking to just a hot US dollar, at least in the near term.
Very interesting. Kelvin, thank you so much for joining us today. We will speak to you again next week.
Thank you, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.